Hey, small business owners, have your sales gone up but your bank account doesn't? Has getting to know your numbers been on your to-do list for a while? Let's face it, you're good at doing the work in your business, but money is hard. Have you noticed by the time you pay your bills and pay everybody else, there's just not much left for you? It's not fair. As a business owner, you know you deserve to be getting paid more than you are, but you just can't seem to figure out where all the money went. What if there was another way? What if there was a way to tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went? What if you had money in your bank account at the end of the month to show for all your hard work? Well, this is the sign you've been looking for, that you're not alone and help is just a call away. The team at Lux Accounting prides themselves on being financial translators that can help you find smarter ways to make money, save money, and finally start paying yourself a salary that you deserve. Working with Lux Accounting not only helps you know your numbers, but they're cheerleaders helping you build a more profitable lifestyle business. The team at Lux Accounting aren't just a bunch of number nerds. They're all self-employed experts with experience in your industry. Megan, the owner, is not only fun, easy to understand, and crazy smart. She's even a CPA. Tech to CEO listeners get a free review of their QuickBooks online when they mention this podcast and visit luxaccounting.com. Again, for a free review of your financial data, when you visit luxaccounting.com and the Tech CEO podcast. Hey guys, today I have JC Janowski on the call. JC is a successful entrepreneur who has built two businesses from the ground up, Cape Fear Pro Wash and Patriot Illumination. Over the years, he's developed a passion for helping leaders and helping other entrepreneurs grow personally and professionally. JC's focus on company culture and commitment to developing leaders sets him apart. His experience in building successful businesses has led him to a deep understanding of what it takes to succeed as an entrepreneur. JC is passionate about sharing this knowledge with others, particularly in the Christmas light business. He is committed to helping entrepreneurs start and grow their own businesses by teaching them the skills and strategies that he has learned over the years. Through his work with Cape Fear Pro Wash and Patriot Illumination, JC developed three strategies for building a culture that attracts top talent and developing leaders. These strategies have led him to higher revenue and helped more customers. His success in building two businesses from the ground up and helping others do the same is a testament to his expertise and dedication. JC's mission is to inspire and empower other entrepreneurs to achieve their own dreams. He is committed to sharing his knowledge and experience with others and continues to be a valuable resource to those looking to start and grow their own business. Wow, JC, you have definitely done some impressive things in life.
Thank you.
So, however, let's unpack what you're doing today and then jump into the story of how that came to be.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, JC Chinowski, I reside in the Wilmington, North Carolina area. I've got two wonderful companies, like you mentioned, Cape Fear Pro Wash and Patriot Illumination. I have an incredible, absolutely incredible team that works with me by my side every day. And without their support and their commitment, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing today. So I'm very grateful and thankful for the team that we have built, the culture that we provide for everybody within our team, and the things that we're looking forward to do in the future with each other. So it's just, for me, it's been fun. I really have to have fun doing things or else I don't want to do it. So I've made work fun, and I try to bring that passion to our team so that just because it's a job doesn't mean you can't have fun doing it. So we build that into the culture of both the companies, and we try to live it and breathe it every single day while we're there.
Well, JC, I'm going to unpack that with you. I mean, there's so much gold that you've structured into that couple of seconds of talking, but if I may, I'm just going to unpack some of the things that I feel, you know, people need to learn and need to understand. So let's start at the beginning. What was your journey like from technician to CEO?
Yeah, so really it started early on in my life. I was joined the military at the age of 24, and I really needed that for at the point of my life where I was at. I needed some type of structure. The things that I was doing, trying to do, just was not working out. So going into the military and having that structure, the leadership, the principles, and being a part of something bigger really changed my whole view and vision on life itself. And I had a lot of amazing, incredible leaders that molded me to the person I am today. And it's actually fun looking back and thinking about the things that they did and how it really has had an impact on me. And even today, even recently, as far as a couple of weeks ago, I can recall somebody who had done something or taught me something back then. We're talking, almost 20 years ago now, 18 years ago, and it still impacts my life today. So did 5 years in the military. I got out and I knew I didn't want to go work for somebody else. My father was an entrepreneur his whole life. I worked for him a lot growing up. And I just really wanted to see what I could do on my own and start. So my father, Brian, and I, we started our first company in 2009, Cape Fear Pro Wash. And that was the pressure washing company. And I had no business background, none at all. I didn't do the proper research. I did research on the industry and what to do, the techniques, the tools and all that stuff, the educating. But as far as a business development and all that type of background, I fell short on that. And this is 2009. So social media was there, but it wasn't big like it is now, all the resources we have today. So 2009, we started it. Not even a year later, I got recalled back to active duty. So I was overseas within a year of being in business. My dad maintained the company, kept a couple jobs going, didn't do a whole lot other than just answer the phones. And if a job came in, he would go get it done. He did that for about 3 years. I'm very grateful and fortunate for that. Actually, no, it's longer than that. 2009, 10, 4 years he did that. Because 2014, I finally came back home, started the company back up again. It was still a part-time thing. I was still a full-time Navy. So we'd wash on the weekends, wash on the nights. My father and I would go do it. And it was good. I mean, it was good money, but it wasn't what I wanted. I knew I wanted something bigger. I wanted something more. And I want to be able to impact more lives within our community by being able to hire a team. So fast forward a few years later, we started to hire people. And that was, like, for most young entrepreneurs, the scariest thing you can do when you start a business is hiring. It's, you know, how am I going to pay for them? How am I going to afford them? What if they mess up? What if they don't do it the way I want to do things? So once we did the hiring and nothing went wrong, we're like, whoa, why were we so worried? Like, you know, we stress ourselves out and get so much anxiety over something that we couldn't control regardless, instead of just leaping into it and trusting the process, because everybody else has done it before. So why can't we do it? And then it just started growing and just getting bigger and bigger from there. In 2016, we learned about the Christmas light installation world of things at a convention. And I can get real deep into my background on Christmas lights, but I love Christmas lights. Like, it excites me. I got a Christmas light jacket here. Usually I have it on, but it's a little warm up here right now. But I found that there's a way that you can make money hanging Christmas lights. And I just immediately lit up. I was excited, like, and, you know, glue like a light bulb. And I said, Dad, we got to do this. We got to try this at least. So we went home, hung some Christmas lights on my house. The house didn't burn down. I didn't fall off a ladder. The house was great. Like, it was like picture perfect magazine. I was like, we're on to something. We got to do this. So we started that year. We only did a couple of jobs. I was still, again, full-time Navy, working days, nights, weekends, whatever I could. But it was there. Like, the concept was there, the proof was there, and I was excited about it. I was about as excited about that as I was the day my first child was born. Like, that's how happy it made me. So we end up growing the company. And then about 2 years later, we got into our first coaching group, which really just changed everything. That was like the pivot point for, like, just being able to really scale and grow things. The needle started moving on the throttle there. So 2019 is when we started our coaching group. And then we really started hiring. At our peak, we were at 22 employees.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, we were just, you know, about 1.8 million in sales total between the two companies. And we're in a very small market. 350,000 is really the population of the three counties that we work with. But coming back to the beginning, while we've been doing this, we've been having fun. You know, the challenges of one of the Christmas light companies is very seasonal. So we have 4 month window for that company to hire, get everything done, installed, take everything down, and then we have to let everybody go. So that's a very hard company to be able to hire fast seasonal folks, get quality, train them, and maintain the level of professionalism for those 3 months, and then say, hey, we'll see you next year, hopefully. So we've really focused on that company culture so that when we do present this to people, hey, you're only gonna be seasonal, you know, you're still part of the team, but you know, we want you to know that you can come back here next year. And we found that a lot of the younger guys that we hire, they really do like it and they will come back the following year. So
nice. Well, congratulations, JC. It sounded like, you know, you took the hard road. You know, a lot of business owners, there are these, and you mentioned it, there are these pivot points, there are these pivotal moments in life that really, you know, give you that forward trajectory, that really sets you apart. And, you know, in my studies and my research, life is just a series of events. And we get to influence those events and make up what those pivot points are. And, you know, people always look at the future. So I wish there could be this. I wish I could be that, you know, this could happen or this could happen. But, you know, if I listen to you speak, there were decisive decisions. And I think on the back of that, the question that I have for you is, at what point did you realize I am now a CEO?
I think it was probably within the last 2 years, honestly, when I was able to step away from the company for an extended period of time. Now I'm talking not just a day or a week, for 2 to 3 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the communication was flowing with everybody, nobody was calling me constantly for advice on the littlest things. Like I felt I was at the pivotal point where I've grown and developed my team to have trust in me and be able to trust in them to execute the mission without checking in on every single process or, you know, making sure this is okay or calling if something went wrong. Even just recently, I was on a trip and one of the trucks went down and had to get towed and repaired and, you know, everything that could have gone wrong with the job that day. And nobody called me, nobody said a word, nobody even checked in with me. And it was just nice to be able to know that they had the framework to be able to do what they needed to do without me saying, yes, no, we could do it this way. Like it felt really good seeing that happen when I came back and hearing all about it.
So that was, you know, your ability to step away from your business and business carries on. And I think oftentimes we're disillusioned by this vision of I'm going to be a CEO, when being a CEO must mean this or a CEO must mean that. And we kind of make up the story for ourselves, you know, when I have certain revenue, when I have a certain team size. And the thing that I've learned is, and you've mentioned it, is you hired great people and you've got strong leaders in your team. It starts with, we work on others by working on ourselves. Absolutely. And it sounds like you've purposefully pursued that as a development path, because part of that is we have to, you know, I always research my guests, and I was looking you up and looking at some of the things that you put out. Coming to terms with our own inadequacies as human beings, we don't necessarily just have strengths or weaknesses, but at some point we have to come to terms with the things that we're not good at. How and what to be the best at. So my question is, how have you learned to come to terms with the inadequacies, meaning you don't necessarily know, you know, there's this, I don't know what I don't know. And how have you overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's hard. It's hard because we want to be that expert in everything, especially as a business owner. We want to be able to develop our team and show them everything. But I learned a long time ago, like, I'm not a numbers person. Like you mentioned earlier, like Megan likes, like, they're numbers people. That's just not something that excites me. I know it's important, but I'm not an expert in that. And there's other things that I just know that I'm not good at. So I found for me personally, it was important to hire the people that knew what I was deficient in, but not only at the capacity we're at right now, because we knew we wanted to grow to different levels. Like, we just hired a general manager, but I didn't want to hire a general manager that was doing a $1 million company. I need to hire a general manager that was doing $5, $6, $7, $8 million companies, because he knew how to get me there, not how to just keep us at the status quo of where we're at. So I'm very humble in understanding that I'm not the smartest guy in every single aspect of the business. And I have no problem saying, I don't know, and I will get you the answer. Because there's nothing I'd ever want to do more than let somebody know, like, give them an answer that's wrong, and then them find out that you're just giving them whatever, and now you lost credibility and trust with them. So I'm very transparent with my team. If I don't know something, we're going to find out. But usually I like to find out together so that we both know the process or who to look for or what we should be hiring for.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that stands out for me is the sign of a true leader is somebody that understands that our adversaries are within. You know, is if I cannot overcome my own ego, if I cannot overcome my need to control and not settle, you know what, there is somebody that's better at things than I am. You know, that oftentimes people push up against that ceiling and they don't really find a way through that. You know, being a CEO is a very lonely journey. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. My question to you is, how does it look, and how important are peer-to-peer networks for you?
What was the first question? I'm sorry.
How do you establish peer-to-peer networks, and how important are they for you to be surrounded with other people on this lonely journey of being a CEO?
Absolutely. That's part of my journey the last 2 years, actually, was realizing that, your friends yesterday won't be your friends tomorrow. And same thing with the business owners you associate yourself with today won't be the same as tomorrow, next year, 5 years from now, because you guys have different goals, different visions and things like that. And you really got to align yourself with the ones that are casting that same vision, because we don't have a $1 million vision. You know, we have a $10 million, $20 million vision. So I want to align myself with those that have gone there and set the path for that. They've made the mistakes. They've done that journey. Mm-hmm. I'd rather learn from them and with them rather than with somebody who's never done it. And we're both on that rocky road, just, changing the tires and all that stuff over and over and over again. So it is very important to align yourself with the people who share the same values and the same growth and the same mindset as you. And it's fine to have different opinions and values and all that stuff. And there's not saying you can't be friends with them, but as we grow as CEOs and leaders, we need to grow personally and professionally too. So part of that personal is just being able to soak in that knowledge from other people who have done these things.
Yeah. And I think there's this theory out there, or this syndrome out there called gold medal syndrome. When an Olympic athlete returns from the Olympics, they get home and they get gold medal syndrome. And it's like, now my life is not fulfilled. I think a lot of people in business, they start off with, hey, this is an opportunity. I can start a business. And through that, the evolvement and the battles, they're like, man, I just want to be the CEO of my company. And I'm interested in, what does it look like beyond that? What's beyond the title of CEO? Because that's what you said is, hey, I hired a general manager, but obviously the general manager is not just going to be the general manager forever. There's a path for them to eventually free you from having to be the CEO of the business. What does that look like for you? How do you conquer those mental perspectives? Or change this perspective that you have around that?
Yeah, because if you talked to me 6 months ago, my mindset was definitely a little bit different than today. And I had a focus on just really building the company without the GM. And I knew I wanted one. I knew we needed one too, because that was really important. Like you said earlier, I don't know what I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. And I will say, you know, it's probably a lot of luck to where we are today, but we did it successfully. And we've always maintained that customer satisfaction and the level of expertise that we do while we're doing it. But I'm really lately enjoying motivating people and talking to people and getting other small business entrepreneurs inspired to do more and understand, you know, when I started, they're not alone. Like, we were all in the same shoes one day. And that it's a struggle for a lot of us because we do think we're alone. Like you mentioned earlier, that we're the only ones facing these battles, facing these fears, you know, stressing out about these things. But everybody's not everybody, but, you know, people have done it before. So I want to focus on being an inspiration for other small business owners to know that it's okay. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and that's fine. It's just how you learn from them and train to that mistake so that you can prevent it and help your team prevent making that same mistake. So reaching out and just kind of being a voice for everybody right now through social media and communication, like, just letting know, like, we're here for you. Like, you can reach out. People want to talk to you. People will talk to you so that you don't have to struggle alone. It's easy. It's hard for somebody to ask for help, but once they do it and realize that, you know, that helped a lot and saved a lot of nervous tension. And that was a big struggle for me the last 3 years, was being able to ask for help. And now I like asking for help.
So JZ, why is that important for you to be that resource for other people? What drives that motivation? I mean, you're highly talented. You obviously have a lot of grit and focus and determination. You know, why not just apply it to your two companies? Why open yourself up to help others succeed?
It's all about passion for me. I was very excited about the pressure washing company. Then the Christmas light thing, like, passion. Like, I love Christmas lights. The thought that somebody's driving by and sees our Christmas lights hung up, they don't know we did it, but they saw it and it brought a smile to their face. That's what drives me to do the Christmas lights. I really get excited knowing that we put a smile on a kid's face. You know, we made a family happy who couldn't afford lights, but they saw it through the windows while they're driving by in the car. That's why I get real passionate about that. When I was running the other day, just 2 days ago, I just got back from Europe. I came home, literally came home, and I ran to the office because I wanted to go for a workout. Through my earphone, I got a text message that said, "Hey, you're an inspiration to me." I didn't know who it was. I didn't look at it, but I heard that the text message came through and said that. And, like, it just sent chills down my body that something that I did or said recently was, you know, building so much value for somebody to reach out to me and say, "You're an inspiration to me." Like, that right there is what drives me and what makes me passionate about being able to help the next person. And just those little things, if I can just provide one little nugget, one little piece to help move that scale for that company or for that individual personally, that's what excites me. While still staying within the company too, because we got to maintain the two companies, but, like, I hired the right people right now to focus on those things so I can help my focus on other individuals.
So this conversation here is at a fork road, and I'm gonna choose the hire the right people fork in the road. How did you know that you hired the right people?
I'm sure there's a magic formula that people have and that are a lot smarter than me. For me, when I do my interview process, like I said earlier, everything we do is evolved around culture. When people come to our office, they see a family culture. There's pets in there. There's pictures of our team on the walls. We don't have motivational posters with Rocky. It's literally our team all over the wall. So that when they get there, they feel like, wow, this is a family I want to be a part of. And when you're talking to them and they get excited about that, and you can kind of see it in their head, like, I want to be on that wall next year. Like, that's me up there. You know, that once they have the buy-in to your culture, you know, hopefully they have the skills and the mindset that you're hiring them for, or you could teach them for that too. But as long as they fit within our culture, we're able to develop them to the leader they need to be. And that's what we've been doing. We're very, very fortunate. We have a great team back there, and you know, we learn together, and every day we'll figure something out. We'll talk about something. We don't always get it right, but we'll still figure it out together. So that's the open line of communication. And have we made mistakes hiring people? Absolutely. I mean, we've had people that were in there for a day, maybe 2 days. They just weren't the right fit, because it's easy to get excited about somebody because you're excited for the wrong reason. But overall, our retention rate within our company is incredibly high, and I'm very proud of that. And I'm no longer doing the hiring too. So it's nice to see that the team has built the culture within themselves, and that when they're doing the hiring, that's the things that they're looking for the individuals, that they align mm-hmm. with our core values.
So obviously it sounds like you got a master's degree in qualifying in leadership school. I do say that tongue in cheek. What's that journey been like? You know, taking on, it's one thing to hire a technician. It's another thing to hire on a rep, a growth rep. But I mean, your business is now grown and you're taking on leaders. And by default, that means you need to be a leader of leaders. And explain to me that journey, that the mindset that you take around that.
Yeah. So the Navy definitely molded me to be the leader I am today. I got 18 years in the Navy and had a lot of training, worked with a lot of younger sailors, junior sailors, senior sailors and officers in the enlisted side. So I had a lot of experience on that side. And I had one commanding officer that would always preach to me that he would always take the good and the bad from every leader that he worked with. He would find the good traits, and he would try to mold himself to be that good leader and take the bad ones too, and be able to recognize it so that he wasn't that bad leader. And do we get it right all the time? No. Even just recently, I realized that I had a bad quality that I thought was a good quality, but it really wasn't. And it took a lot for me to say, like, wow, you got this wrong, JC, and you need to fix it. So being able to recognize your strengths and weaknesses and apply that to your developing staff and grow them to a leader, because we teach everybody when they start working with us that you don't need to be here 2 years. You don't have to have this title. You don't have to be this certain age to be a leader. Everybody can be a leader from the day they start working there. That doesn't mean that the most junior person is going to come in and be the GM tomorrow because he wants to lead that way. But we want them to know that while they're on a job or out in a situation, they can take control of that and lead their way to complete that mission. They don't need to check in on every single step. So if we start them young and keep it consistent with the leadership and open communication, it gives them the trust in themselves to want to be a better leader, because they see that we're affording them this opportunity to become leaders within our community at the companies.
Yeah, JC, I think you bring up an absolute vital truth to this journey is, you know, you described it as opportunity in your company. You didn't say, hey, I have this position, or you didn't say I have this responsibility or this task. You purposely say, hey, we have opportunity in our company. And I think that for me is where a lot of CEOs miss the mark, because all they're trying to do is get a warm body into owning the responsibility. But if you start talking about opportunity, every single person that you come across isn't interested. Whether that's the opportunity to earn more, be more, have more, give more, do more, doesn't matter. Opportunity is what everybody seeks in life. So I'm going to ask you some more challenging questions in a minute. There's the unintended consequence that we sometimes don't consider. You know, you've gone from the military, starting the company, you know, part-time, dad running it, and you really found the passion in pressure washing, and then you're really passionate about Christmas lights, but it was more from a technical side. Now that you've got that GM, you know, the unintended consequence of bringing in leadership is you sometimes get alienated from the passion itself. And you've purposely realigned yourself and say, okay, well, I cannot live without passion. And, you know, your public persona and everything that you put out there really speaks to that. So realigning yourself with passion. Having said that, how do you set yourself up for identifying that goal in the future? Because we're not trying to just get to a destination. We're trying to be better every day. How do you set yourself up to always be passionate?
Yeah, it's hard. You can see the my past, you know, I was passionate about one thing, I was passionate about that. And I used to be passionate about the military as well. And I always said to myself, once I lose passion or something, it's no longer fun. I don't want to do it. And I hate that. And it's hard to force yourself to want to do something. And that goes against our company culture because we want people to have fun. We want them to be excited about it. Just because it's a job doesn't mean it can't be fun. So, you know, as we grow personally and professionally, your values and things will change and they will realign. And, you know, right now the passion is really just continuing to develop those leaders within our company. The four main people we have there and everybody below them, but knowing that my voice or what I can put on social media or communicate with somebody through these podcasts, that I can inspire them to be better leaders or even let them know that you are doing everything you can be doing to, you know, where you are today. Like, we just beat ourselves up all the time saying this is not good enough. And it even happened to me, 3 weeks ago, I went for a run. I'm like, oh, these times are horrible. And everybody's like, dude, these times are amazing. Like, I was beating myself up so much because I thought something when in reality, it was the exact opposite. So everybody coming to me and saying like, you did really good. I'm like, oh, wow. All right. Well, then I had to shift my mindset. So now if I can be able to tell somebody like, hey, you're actually doing really good where you're at right now, or you're on the right track and this is what we need to do to help you get to the next level, it really just gets me excited. And when I wake up every day and I get to post these things on social media or communicate with everybody at the events, you know, like I said, that's reigniting that passion that I've been looking for a long time. I didn't realize this is where I wanted to be 2 years ago, or even 5 years ago. And now that I'm here, I know it's for a purpose.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Jay-Z. I think, you know, one of the things as you were talking, I was just reading through some of the notes that I made in preparation, is one of the things that I always talk about, you know, with our clients and potential clients and business owners that I meet, is there's nothing in life that you have to do. And when you can shift your mind from have to get to, it opens up Pandora's box on possibilities around passion. You don't have to go for a run. You get to go for a run because you're healthy enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to develop your leadership. You get to invest into other people. And there's always a price. So, you know, that in effect puts you in a privileged position. And as far as you can imprint upon other people, the way that we pay for that privilege, the right to get to do what we want to do, is with your virtue, is truly having a true and clear value system by which you live. And I think a lot of people kind of adopt outside things because I'm like, you know, somebody else's role, somebody else's story, somebody else's mission or vision. I'm trying to achieve this because I'm trying to find acceptance. How do you stay true to what you are and who you are?
Well, that's a good question. that's, you know, aligns really with your inner core values and knowing that for me, you know, once somebody recently said, like, you're doing all this for money, and it's not for the money. Like, money's good, don't get me wrong. But just like with the Christmas lights, when we hang those lights, I do it for the people who can't afford the lights. Those little outline effects of that, those lights going up there, that I think about, that because I was that kid when we were younger that we couldn't afford all the Christmas lights, the Clark Griswold. So we would drive around community to community to go and look at these Christmas lights. And that was, you know, part of my childhood, was getting the car with my sister, my mom and dad, and just going community to community. So when I do that now with my kids, even though we can't afford it, I know that, you know, those lights getting put up because of us, somebody's having that other experience too, because they couldn't afford it, like I said earlier. So that's one of the big things that just keeps me going.
I'm always fascinated about people that said, oh, you're only doing this for the money. And I'm like, hell yeah, because money doesn't buy happiness, but no money buys you jack shit. So somewhere in life, we've got to get to grips with our relationship with money. You know, the people who say that, they go to work every day and they expect to be paid. Right. So they're doing what they're doing for money. The only thing that, you know, when you go home, your wife doesn't pay you to be the husband. So that's where you do stuff not for money. To a larger extent, our existence only gets improved when our means expand.
Right.
So when I can do more for other people, if I create a bigger opportunity, because if you're a $100,000 business, you have very little opportunity. There's somebody out there that wants to work for, you know, $1 million, $2 million company. Increasing your company or growing your company allows you to give that person opportunity. So for everybody, it's true that we all do what we do for money. Let's talk a little bit about your biggest success. If you just think back of your life, it's not personal, it's not business. Just if I said to you, JC, what is the biggest success in your life? What would you say that is?
My two daughters, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just, I just got back from Europe with them for 13 days, and it just watching them grow and being the proud father that I am of them and the things that they're doing, coming from a broken home as well. You know, my ex-wife and I separated, how great they still are. And that's, like, if everybody knows anything about me, it's that my family always comes first, and that's family blood and family at work too. But just those two little angels of mine are honestly my greatest successes I'll ever have.
I'm always fascinated, you know, and I purposely ask that question to everybody that I get to speak to, and touch wood, to date, nobody has said, my wealth, my business, my cars, my holiday. Everybody say, either in your instance, it's my daughters, or as angels, as you describe them. You know, for other people, it's like my spouse, you know, my relationship with my spouse. It's fascinating to me that people always, when I ask them, what is the biggest success in your life? And, you know, I've spoken to guys who run 10, 15, $20 million companies, and they all refer it back to the person that I get to share this with. And for you, that's true as well. You said, I get to share this with my two daughters. I get to be the dad that goes to Europe, you know, for a couple of weeks and get to spend time with them. My lifestyle just affords me that. The obvious next question, JC, is what has been your biggest blunder?
My biggest blunder? Control. And that was probably the biggest thing for the longest time. And that was part of that hiring process and understanding my downfalls of a leader was I always wanted to have that control. I always wanted everything to be perfect. And over the last 5-6 years as we're hiring, I found out that it didn't have to be my way. It could be another way. And being able to release that control finally and see what's happened and see the growth of our company and the team, it's just incredible to know that I was holding back the company from so much for so long because of that control. And we'd probably be a little bit further ahead right now if it wasn't for that. But now that I've released it and seeing what the team is doing without me doing that, it's incredible too.
Yeah. And I mean, you've obviously heard the saying, speed of the leader, speed of the pack. And I think a lot of business owners miss the fact that the pack will only move as fast as the leader moves. But you're not a leader if there is no pack.
Right.
And if you try and hold on from a control point of view and say, I am the best at this, I am the person that makes the final decisions, everything has to cross my desk, then you're holding the pack. You know, the pack wants to go really fast, but as a leader, you are the bottleneck in the business.
Yeah, because you're limiting them from being able to express themselves, being able to do things that, you know, they can't talk to you because they don't trust you, because they feel that once you they express something to you, you're going to shut it down right away because it's not your way. And just being able to see them come to me with these ideas that I never would have thought about. And I'm like, dude, that's gold. Like, why? Like, that's why you're here right now, because I wouldn't have thought about that. And it's like that quick too. Like, we had something just recently. They came up with this idea out of nowhere. I'm like, you know, it just saved us a whole bunch of money, and we're able to move the needle a lot faster because of that idea. That if it was just on me to come up with everything, you know, where would we be right now? We wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what comes to mind as you speak is a lot of people say, well, you bring me the idea, and then the traditional business owner or the technician operator, the owner operator is like, well, we can't do this because that means I have to do this and I have to do this. And they always equate their personal expense into that. When somebody brings an idea and you can just rubber stamp it, you know, I always use the analogy of, I have a window behind my screens in my office, and I always see an Amazon vehicle drive up, you know, and then I'll hear them deliver something. And then, you know, what do? Do I text message Jeff Bezos and say, hey, dude, thanks for the delivery? You know, he doesn't even know that it happened because he's built a company that can succeed without him.
Right.
And I think, even though it's a million, $2 million, $10 million business, the same rule applies. If you're the one wanting to control the quality of the work, or you're the one wanting to control the finances, or you're the one that says, I will decide who we do business with, I am the one doing the estimates. If you can truly hand that over, not as a task, but as a role within the business, you know, that's where, you know, there's great books around complete ownership. When you can bring leaders in that fully occupy the lane in which they exist, that's that J curve that really sets the business up for success. And I've seen a lot of business owners stifle their business because they just won't let go of the control issues.
Yeah. And you said the key word there, ownership. If they have that ownership of that task, that role, and without you on them all the time, they had that pride and they want to do better. And it's, you know, being able to let them express themselves, it's freeing for them and it's rewarding for us as the owners, as the CEOs, to be able to see the things that they're capable of doing rather than just saying, nope, we're just going to do it this way and go back. I get more joy out of that, them coming to me with ideas and being able to implement them, than me saying, let's go do this.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Jordan Peterson. I do a lot of research and study, and I try and consume as much of what he puts out there publicly. And he recently had an interview with Guy Ritchie, who's making a movie about King Arthur. And the story that he was telling was around, you know, King Arthur could pick up the sword. And sometimes when we have this opportunity, we're plagued by, if I build a $1 million business, then I'm going to potentially become the person that I worked for the last time. I'm going to become the evil boss, you know, the CEO that goes overseas and doesn't do a stitch of work, and he doesn't know how hard it is in the trenches. And what inevitably happens is people come across these opportunities in their life to step up to the plate, pick up the sword, and do good. Win the battle for good. And it's not a competition in your company to say, well, you know, my service leader and my operations leader are competing with one another. They're realizing that, hey, we're all in this together. And I think a lot of people walk past opportunities. You know, for you, it was the opportunity to hire a GM. You might have had good or bad experiences in the past. We all know bad, you know, stories around these things. Little bit about you. What are you excited about the future?
Yeah, excited. I got a couple speaking events coming up here real soon. So I get out to there and talk about the things that excite me and be able to share that inspiration with others to hopefully inspire them to be better leaders themselves and know that they're capable of that. And just watching, now that we have the GM in place and everything's running full circle without me there, it's fun to see what's going to happen to that over the next 6 months to 8 months throughout the rest of the year. So really looking forward to that. And honestly, just being able to communicate with other business owners right now and just spread the word and talk to them and be a beacon of light for them. And that's, you know, light falls under our core values with our team. And I want to be a part of that for other companies as well.
Yeah. And JC, on behalf of the public, I want to thank you for saying, you know, I want to share that light with others out there. I'm not going to keep the Coca-Cola recipe to myself. I'm willing to share. I'm willing to help other people succeed, because inevitably that's our mandate in life, is to make the world that we live in a better place, not to make the world we live in a better place for us.
Right. Yep.
Whether that is your competition, people who share the market with you, people that want to go into the industry, people that work for you, you know, right down to the personal level, which is the two daughters that you get to do life with. If people want to hear more of, you know, you, get hold of you, where can they absorb some more of you?
Yeah, the easiest way to get hold of me is probably going to be on Facebook, JC Chinowski, and Instagram as well. But that's probably the fastest and easiest way to get hold of me right now with all the traveling that's got going on. So please, if anybody has any questions about the industries that I work in, or, you know, stuff that we've been talking about today, I'd love to talk to you. And there's no fees or anything like that. I just truly want to help people.
Great, JC. So yeah, if you guys want to check out JC, check out his Facebook and Instagram at JC Chanowski, Chanowsky. JC, thank you for spending time with me. You know, I would talk for another 2 hours, but you know, you have a business to run. Any parting words, anything that you feel, hey, if you guys just focus on this, you know, what is a parting point that you would want to leave people with?
Yeah, one of the big things I've been expressing and talk about lately, and I know it's a kind of a downside of things, but really, is that it's okay to fail. We're all going to fail at some point in our life. And it's about how you embrace that failure and learn from it. I like to say, if you're going to fail, fail forward. So just know that it's not going to be a smooth road throughout the whole process. There's going to be ups and downs. You're going to beat yourself up and you're going to praise yourself other times. But when you do fail, know that it's okay. You're not alone. People fail all the time. It's just how you react to that and engage and learn from it is what's important. So that's my big thing, is preaching to that part, because we beat ourselves up way too much about the little things when it's going to happen, but we can learn from it.
Yeah, JC, I think that's a beautiful parting thought. And, you know, I want to encourage you guys, you know, learn from JC. He's made himself available, but don't try and take on the CEO journey by yourself. Reach out to people, ask for help. There are, you know, more JCs out there. Find those people that are willing to share. Find those people that are willing to walk this journey with you. Maybe not, you know, obviously not jump into your business, but it's somebody just that you can just go to and say, hey, I'm getting my ass handed to me as a CEO right now. You know, I was a good service leader. I was a good growth leader. I was a good business operator owner, but I'm getting my ass handed to me because my leadership is not developing. And I would encourage you guys, that's the journey. When you become a CEO, you're in the people business. What your people do at the end, whether you do Christmas lights, power washing, window cleaning, you know, gutter cleaning, whatever it is, that becomes not the defining purpose of the business. The purpose of the business then switches to, you know what, everybody in this business needs to win. Everybody in this business needs to have a place where they feel fulfilled and have a place where they can truly make a difference. So I would encourage you guys, look out for people, reach out to JC, spam him if you guys want. You know, if he doesn't answer, he's probably going to be with his two beautiful daughters. But I would encourage you guys, reach out to JC and the likes. JC, thank you for spending time.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was an honor to be here with you. And like you said, that network is so important, and it's just all you have to do is ask.
Yeah, I agree. JC, thank you, man. Would love to have you back in the future and talk some more on some things. So yeah, check us out. JC, check out JC on his Facebook and Instagram as well.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.